secure. It enters the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, behind the curtain. Where Jesus goes and gives the sacrifice, and Jesus enters in our heart. Yes, while the high priest will drive the order of Melchizedek. So in next chapter 7, next Sunday, we will study again about Melchizedek, okay? Yes, we know the book Hebrews is a book of warning. You like the warning? Hebrews is a book of warning, but not a book of discouragement, but a book of encouragement. This book Hebrews gives us warning, not to discourage us, but to encourage us, not to threaten us, but to give us hope in patient faith. Continue. Do you remember last Sunday, at the last part of last Sunday sermon? Also, this book encourages us, give us warning not to be lazy, not to be lazy, but to be diligent with hope and patience in faith. Do you remember? After giving this encouragement, not to be idle, not to be lazy, but to be diligent in serving Him. And then this passage, today's passage, gives us an example, sample to imitate. This sample is Abraham. In today's passage, one of the key words is promise. You know, God gave Abraham continually promise. We will see later in this book, Bible, promise. Actually, God does not need to swear. God does not need to take an oath, because God never tells a lie, like me, like you. Like in the middle, in this text, it says, it is absolutely impossible for God to tell a lie. Also, there is no one who is greater than God. Then God swore by himself. What does this mean? God taking oath, vow. It means God gives double certainty, double authenticity, double surety, double emphasis of importance. Also today, our Lord Jesus gives us with a vow. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. For truly, truly, I tell you. Actually, Jesus does not need to use this sentence. I tell you the truth. Truly, truly, I tell you. Because all things Jesus is speaking is truth. Jesus himself is the truth. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth. Jesus does not need to say, I tell you the truth. Truly, truly, I tell you. What does this mean? This is Jesus' vow. Oath, to give us double certainty, double emphasis of importance. I said already this passage is from Abraham to Jesus. Also in Matthew chapter 1, in the genealogy of Jesus, that story starts with Abraham and close with Jesus. And this passage gives us as a sample example to imitate Abraham. Do you want to imitate Abraham? What? The Bible says, continue. Several times in the Bible, Abraham is the father of all who believe. For example, Galatians 3:7 says, those who believe, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Amen. I believe. Do you believe? Galatians 3:7 says, those who believe in Jesus are children of Abraham. Also Romans chapter 4 verse 11 says, Abraham is the father of all who believe in Jesus Christ. What does this mean? Yes, we know Abraham. Abraham is not a perfect man in his character, in his action. He tells a lie several times about his wife. I never told a lie about my wife. All the time I introduce my wife as wife, not my sister. But Abraham told, pointing his wife, this is my sister, to keep his physical life. Also in the Bible, Abraham was not the first person who saved by faith. Abraham was not the first person who believed in God. There are many, many, many people in the Bible who saved by faith, who believed in God before Abraham in Genesis, at least in the Bible. Then why Bible introduced to us continually, Abraham is your father of faith. We all children of Abraham. What does this mean? What relationship do you have with Abraham? Personally, individually, what does this mean to me, to you personally? Abraham is my father. Abraham is my father means there is a very close relationship, right? Still today, this passage wants us to make it clear what does this mean. Abraham is the father of all who believe. Also, all who believe in Jesus Christ are children of God also? Abraham. Okay, I was making at least two things to make the meaning of the sentence. Abraham is the father of all who believe, including me and you, if we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Amen. God bless you. First, God is. I said already, one of the key words in this passage is what? Promise. You can see several times the same word. Promise. Yeah. First, Abraham is the public and official sample example of how we can be saved, how we can be declared righteous, or how we can be justified. In this fact, Abraham is our father, we are his children. Second meaning is very practical, even today applied. Second, we are heirs of Abraham's promise. It means we are still today, if we believe in Jesus Christ, we are sharing Abraham's ultimate purpose, Abraham's ultimate mission, Abraham's ultimate inheritance. You know, verse 15 says, So after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. This sentence is right. Also, not only this sentence, but also there is another promise Abraham did not receive. Would you decide this sentence? Same sentence. Abraham received what was promised. Which you wrote with your handwriting. Also, there is another promise Abraham did not It means still today we are receiving, we are sharing a promise. So that promise is being fulfilled through those who believe in Jesus Christ. In this fact, we are children of Abraham. Abraham is our father. First, I said already, Abraham is public, official sample, example of how we can be saved. In this, if we are saved, there's a gap of a period of 4,000. Abraham lived 4,000 years ago, BC 2000. We are living in AD 2000 over. But Abraham lived before BC 2000. There is a gap of 4,000 between Abraham and us. But if we are saved, we are saved by exact same faith by which Abraham was saved. He was example in this salvation, righteousness, justification. Okay, let me share with you how Abraham was saved, or how Abraham was declared righteous, how Abraham was justified. Listening to how Abraham was saved, we must remember continually by the same way we are saved. Are you with me? Okay. First, let me give you three points. How Abraham was saved. His story exactly same with our story in the matter of salvation, justification. First, Abraham was saved by faith, not by works. In Genesis chapter 14, we must be familiar with the background story in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 14, maybe today food is a little hard, solid food, not meat. I'm ready to eat solid food, okay? First, Abraham was saved by faith, not by works. In Genesis chapter 14, Abraham had defeated the allied kings to rescue his nephew Lot. And after that, he was wondering if they would return to fight against him again. So maybe he was afraid. At that moment, God appeared to him and said, Abraham. At the time, his name was not Abraham. His name was Abraham. I'll say later, the changing point. God appeared to Abraham and called him, Abraham, Abraham. Do not be afraid. I'm your shield. I'm your very great reward. You know, at the time, the thing Abraham wanted most was a son. At the time, he was 85 years old. No son. And God gave him promise, a son. And God took Abraham outside and said to him, look up at the skies, at the heavens. Count the stars. So shall your offspring, so shall your children be like that, like the stars in the sky. Abraham was 85, no child, even one, not one son. Abraham just believed God's promise. The Hebrew words translated, believed is just to say Amen. You say Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you respond to my sermon, Amen means I agree. I believe your words will be my words, can be applied in my life. That is why saying Amen is very important The first, second Corinthians chapter 1 says, we can give glory to God by saying Amen in His promise. God can receive with glory simply when we say Amen. Amen. I believe this Amen. Genesis 15:6 says, Abraham believed God, and God credited it to him as righteousness, as justification. The word credited at the time can be changed into counted, reckoned, or imputed. Actually, credited is a banking term. Do you have a credit card? Like this. Do you have a credit card? Credited is a banking term. Means credited means to put to one's account in his banking book. For example, when a man works, he earns a salary. He makes money. And then money is put in his account. Then Abraham did not work for his salvation. God gave him promise. He simply said, what? Amen. That is all what Abraham did. It was that faith was counted, credited for righteousness and justification in his life, in his account. It was Jesus Christ who did work on the cross for his salvation. So it means when he said Amen to the promise of God, the righteousness of Jesus done on the cross was put on his account. Hallelujah. Not hallelujah? Hallelujah. Like this, in our application, like this, we do nothing for our salvation. I did nothing for my salvation. When I believe in Jesus Christ, when I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, the righteousness of Jesus Christ was transferred, put on my account. So his righteousness became my righteousness. Just like if somebody put big money on my account, that money becomes whose money? My money, like this. Exactly same principle, same obligation. That is why 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, God made who had no sin, Jesus Christ, to be seen for us, so that in Him, in Jesus Christ, we might become righteousness of God. That is why 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Receive this gift. This is a great gift. Jesus is your righteousness, my righteousness. Simply because we say Amen to His promise. Number two, Abraham was saved by grace, not by circumcision or keeping the law. As you know, in Jewish history, the Jews gloried in the circumcision and the law. But Abraham was saved. Abraham was declared righteous when he was in the state of uncircumcision. This event, when he believed God credited it to him as righteousness. This event happened in Genesis chapter 15, when he was age of 85. Then, in chapter 17, when he was 99 years old, he was circumcised. He received circumcision. the event of his being circumcised was more than 14 years after than the events of his salvation, which happened in Genesis chapter 15. It is very clear, his circumcision had nothing to do with his salvation. Also, he was not saved by observing the law. He was saved before the law was given. As we know, the law was given through what? Through whom? Moses. The law of God was given through Moses, who lived about 500 years later, after Abraham. So in this also, keeping the law, observing the law, had nothing to do with Abraham's salvation. God gave him just a promise, and he responded with saying, Amen. The question is, why? Why did God give Abraham promise? Why? Was Abraham worthy of God's promise? No. Did Abraham deserve God's promise? No. Did he earn it or merit it? No. It means simply, God gave Abraham a promise to give him a son by grace. This grace, for nothing, absolutely gifted. For nothing means by grace. That is why Ephesians 2:8-9 says, it is by grace. This is our story. If you are saved really, this is your story, my story, applied. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, not by observing the law. So that no one can boast before God. Pray. I give you time to pray. 10 seconds. Number three. Also, this is very important, very practical in our Christian life. Abraham was saved by the power of Jesus' resurrection, not by his own power, not by his own effort. Let me repeat. Abraham was saved by what? Whose power? Jesus' resurrection power, not by his own power. Yes, we know God appeared to Abraham and gave him promise, I'll give you a son, I'll give you an heir. When he was already 85 years old, in Genesis chapter 15. Maybe Abraham would expect to receive a son immediately, soon. Why? Because he was already, at the time, 85. Young or old? Already old. He knew God is so faithful in keeping his promise. There is nothing impossible with God. God is Almighty God. But he had no son, even not one child. He was already 85. Then God gave him promise, I give you a son. Your son will be like stars. He would expect to receive immediately. But very strangely, God delayed in keeping his promise until Abraham became, can you imagine, 100 years old, and his wife Sarah 90 years old. Humanly speaking, this absolutely impossible, unthinkable for man who is 100 years old to receive a son through his wife, through the womb of his wife, who is 90 years old. In chapter 17, when Abraham was 99 years old, God appeared to him again and said, just repeat his promise. He said, still his name, what? Still his name?
Abraham.
I'm Almighty God. God was introducing himself to Abraham again. You know, I'm God Almighty. Walk before me, be blameless. And so this is my covenant with you. I will make you a father of many nations. And God said, I have made you the father of many, many, many children already. I have made this already. Present perfect already. But at the time, Abraham, can you imagine this situation? Abraham was 99 years old. No son. God gave him promise to give him son 14 years ago. 99 years old. Then God said, I have made you the father of many, many children. And God said to him, no longer will your name be Abraham. Change your name, Abraham, into Abraham. What is the literal meaning? Abraham means exalted father. Exalted father. He was exalted alone. In Korean, 혼자 잘난 아버지, in Korean, exalted, glorified father alone. Abraham means father of many, many, many children, many nations. Abraham did not walk by sight, but he walked by faith. One reason why God delayed in giving Abraham and Sarah a son. God is good. God is so faithful. There is nothing impossible with God. Then why God delayed? There is a spiritual principle to teach us salvation. One reason why God delayed in sending Abraham and Sarah a son was to wait, to commit all their physical strengths, all their natural efforts to decrease, diminish, and then finally disappear completely. And then he got a son at the age of 100. Means Abraham experienced the rejuvenation of his father. This experience of his rejuvenation in his body is a symbol, picture of Jesus' resurrection power from the dead. That is why Romans chapter 4 verse 25 says, Jesus Christ was delivered over to death on the cross for our sin and raised up again to life for our justification, for our righteousness, for our righteousness. Abraham just believed God's promise. So the application to salvation is very clear. The application to salvation in our life is very clear. Please remember, as long as the lost sinner thinks that he has power enough to do something for his salvation, he cannot be saved by God's grace. He cannot be saved by the power of Jesus' resurrection. Only when we are sinner by nature. Only when we recognize and confess before God like this, I'm totally powerless, hopeless, helpless on my path for my salvation, at that moment, God's saving power through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ can be applied and work. When we confess, I need your power, I need your help, I need your hope, which done on the cross through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we can see the situation of Abraham in Genesis 4,000 years ago. You know, Abraham had no Bible to read, right? Abraham had no church history books. Abraham had no devotional books. We have many, many books, good books, devotional books, church history books. He had no witness. We have many, many witnesses around us. Abraham had no church around him. Abraham had no believer's fellowship. He was almost alone as a believer. Surrounded by unbelieving pagans, unbelievers. In this hard, terrible situation, Abraham believed God's promise. So God honored his faith and God rewarded his faith. Abraham's initial faith in God's promise did not diminish as the time passed. How about our faith? We must know that saving faith, if we have really saving faith is becoming stronger and stronger and stronger with patience and hope in Jesus Christ. As the time is passing, regardless of whatever circumstances around us. You must know that if you have faith, what is the ground? What is the ground of our faith? What is the basis of our faith? You know, if our faith is based on what Jesus has done on the cross, our faith is becoming stronger and stronger as the time passes. But if our faith is based on what we are doing, what I'm doing for God, our faith is becoming weak and weaker as the time passes. Let me repeat one more time in different expressions. If our faith is based on God's promise, the Bible, the Word of God, because His promise is unchanging. If our faith is based on God's promise in the Bible, our faith is becoming stronger and stronger as the time passes, whatever circumstances around us. But if our faith is based on our feeling, our circumstances, our faith is becoming weaker and weaker, the time passes. Let me give you just one example. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you. If this is just an example, so I made. If your lover, your beloved one, is now far away from you, maybe in Africa or America, very far, then he gave you promise. You are in Korea now. I will return to you within 10 years. This is a promise given to me from my loved one. Our initial faith can be very strong.
Yes.
He or she will be talking to me very soon, within 10 years. I believe this promise is very faithful. I'm full of expectation to see him or soon. First, 1 year, past, he does not call. 2 years, past, he does not come. 3 years, he does not come. 4 years, past, he does not come. 5 years, past, he does not come. Okay, in this situation, as the time passes, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, your initial faith is becoming stronger and stronger or weaker and weaker? This is a very critical question. Thank you very much. Brother Lee helped me to say point. In this situation, if our initial faith is becoming weak and weaker, it means my faith is based on just my own feeling. I do not believe his promise. You know, if I believe really his promise, the time has, our faith is becoming stronger and stronger. You know why? He promised that he returned within 10 years. And he does not come first year. At first year, the probability, you know, probability, possibility, the probability of his returning is 1/10, 10%. In second year, the probability of his returning is 20%, 2/10. In third year, the probability of his returning is 30%. Ninth year, the probability of his returning is 90%. 10th year, last year, he promised I return within 10 years. At 10th year, the probability of his returning is 100%. So as time is passing, our initial faith is becoming even bigger, stronger and stronger with patience and hope. That is why verse 19 says, we have this hope as an anchor. Anchor is a symbol of unshakable, unchangeable, absolute standard. Like this, our Lord Jesus Christ promised, I will return. Yes, I'm coming soon. Even at the last chapter of Revelation, 3 times Jesus repeat, behold, I'm coming soon. Behold, I'm coming soon. Behold, I'm coming soon. Jesus repeat this promise 3 times. He gave this promise already 2,000 years ago, even though we do not know the limitation of period within how long he will return. We do not know the limitation of the period, but there is a limitation of the period, right? Right? If we believe Jesus' promise as time is passing, our initial faith in Jesus' return will become stronger or weaker?
Stronger.
Why? Hallelujah. Why the time is passing, the period, limitation of period left is smaller and smaller, and probability of his return is becoming bigger and bigger. Like this, promises are very important. As today say, our Lord Jesus give us promise, even with oath. I said already, Jesus does not need to say with oath, I tell you the truth. Truly, truly, I tell you. Jesus does not need. But with oath, with a vow, Jesus give us promise about salvation. I tell you the truth. Whoever believes in me, whoever hears my voice and believes him who sent me, he has eternal life, will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. John 1:12 promised to all who received him, to those who believed in the name of Jesus Christ, he gave the right to become children of God. Also, God gave us promise. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And if you believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Second, Jesus is, Abraham is our father of faith. He is second time. I said, would you follow again verse 15? So, after waiting patiently, we need patience. So that is why one of the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit is patience. Patience is important. Abraham received what was promised. Then I said he received what was promised also. I said already there is another promise which he did not receive yet. Do you remember? Then we are receiving that promise given to Abraham. He received in that we are his children. Okay, what was, this is very important. I'm almost very close to the end. Are you with me? God gave a promise to Abraham to give him a son. But we must know that the ultimate promise was not just to give him Isaac. Abraham received what was promised to him. Abraham received one son, Isaac. Physical son, natural son. But this is not ultimate promise. God gave him, you will be a father of many nations. We know the calling of Abraham. We know the calling of Abraham. Genesis 12. This is the initial calling of God to Abraham. God called Abraham and said, Abraham, leave your household, leave your father's house and your hometown and go to the land I will show you. Verse 2 and 3. Verse 3 is the ultimate promise of God given to Abraham. Verse 2 says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I bless those who bless you. I curse those who curse you. And verse 13. All nations on earth, all families on earth will be blessed through you. Hallelujah. You know, Galatians chapter 3 verse 9 says, this promise is gospel. Do you know that? Let me repeat. The ultimate promise of God given to Abraham is what? Repeat, listen to me. All nations on the earth will be blessed through you.
Will be saved through you.
And New Testament, Galatians chapter 3 verse 9 says, this is initial gospel. Galatians 3:9 says, God preached gospel in advance to Abraham. At the time, At the time of Abraham, there was no pastor like me. There was no evangelist like you. So there was no gospel preacher, human gospel preacher. So God preached gospel to Abraham in advance. That gospel message, what? That gospel message is, all nations on earth will be blessed through you. Okay, you know, God is so faithful. God is in us. God is almighty. God gave this promise. God gave this promise to Abraham. When? All nations on this earth will be blessed through you, Abraham. God gave this promise to Abraham. When? 5,000 years ago. 5,000 years ago. Then question is, this promise was fulfilled through Abraham in his lifetime? No. Since that promise given to Abraham, all nations on earth will be blessed through you. Since that promise, 4,000 years have passed. But still today, this promise is not fulfilled. This promise is on the way to being fulfilled. Conclusion. This promise, all nations on this earth will be fulfilled only by whom? Jesus Christ. That is why I said the first in my sermon, this story is from Abraham to Jesus Christ. From Abraham to Jesus. We are between Abraham and Jesus Christ. This promise, this ultimate mission, this ultimate inheritance, this ultimate promise of Abraham given to him 4,000 years ago is now being fulfilled through those who believe in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ. That is why we are called his children, because we are sharing his heirs. We are sharing his inheritance. We are sharing his ultimate promise. Last sentence. I will never say okay in this sermon, only I will show you. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is what chapter?
Faith chapter.
At least more than 20 times we can see the repetition of the same phrase. By faith. There you go. By faith. Okay, the conclusion. Last verse. Faith chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, verse. Last verse, maybe. 40. Okay. Let us read verse 40. There you go. God has planned something better for us, so that all together with us would they be made perfect. Please remember, through us, today, through us, that ultimate purpose given to Abraham 4,000 years ago is the fulfill. God bless you. Would you bless your next? God bless you. So, you are a great man. you are given, you are given the same ultimate purpose, ultimate mission. That is called world blessing. World blessing, world salvation, world mission, world evangelization. God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful plan. How unsearchable your wisdom, your knowledge, your path beyond humans facing up. Oh Lord God, still today your promise is very, very available, alive, powerful. Still today we know our Lord Jesus gave us promise, even with the oath. I tell the truth. I tell the truth. If you confess, Jesus is my Lord, Jesus is my Savior, you will be saved. Very simple, very short, very clear. Oh Lord God, we invite Holy Spirit. It is a kind of work can be done only by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That is why your Bible says nobody can confess Jesus is Lord except by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Father, we welcome you. We invite you, Holy Spirit, so that you may touch our hearts, our mind, our soul, our spirit, and receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, and confess with our mouth, Jesus is my Lord, Jesus is my King, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Simply say Amen to your promise, to your covenant, to your faithfulness. You are so, so faithful in keeping your promise. You are Almighty God. There is nothing impossible with you. Only it is possible for you to tell a lie. Everything you are saying to us is true and truth. You are ultimate standards of what is true. Thank you, Lord. All glory back to you. We pray together in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.